part of the value, I think, of our system is that it prevents exposure. You know, most gas detection, they just go off at a certain level, and they may track average exposures over time, but they don't have this feature that gives them alerts before it reaches a dangerous level. So that's something that's unique to ChemDAC.
Every day, they slay the dragons of healthcare-acquired infections and dangerous microbial fire breathers. While you may not see them during your next hospital stay, they will be there ensuring the safest possible surgeries by skillfully wielding their disinfecting weapons of mass microbial destruction. They are sterile processing professionals. And this is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the global sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we introduce you to the unsung heroes, leaders, and innovators who are fighting dirty around the globe. And now, it's time to go Beyond Clean.
This week's Vendor Spotlight on Beyond Clean features David Hilliker, President and CEO of ChemDAC Incorporated. ChemDAC is the leading manufacturer of gas detection systems for low-temperature gas and liquid chemical sterilants in the healthcare industry. Mr. Hilliker has over 25 years' experience in regulatory compliance and the design and development of state-of-the-art technologies to ensure workplace safety. David is a member of ISHAM, AIMI, and the American Industrial Hygiene Association, or AIHA. And Bob, I'm excited for this one because we were able to speak with David earlier this week for an educational episode of Beyond Clean. But now in this vendor spotlight, we get to talk about the great work that he's doing at ChemDAC.
And I can't wait to hear about all the safety features that are giving sterile processing professionals a peace of mind when they go into their workplace.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is David Hilliker, President and CEO of ChemDAC. And David, you joined us earlier this week for an educational podcast, but now we're going to spotlight your company and the great work that you're doing. And so I just wanted to welcome you back on the show to help us close out this week.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you guys again.
One of the things we love about working with your company and what we've gotten to know about ChemDAC over the last, I'd say, 12 to 18 months since your very first appearance on the show is that you are truly an innovator. And what I mean by that is I think you can measure it by how many firsts have been accomplished in an industry, and you certainly have a number of them. Can you start us off talking about the company? Give us some background and an overview.
ChemDAC was actually started in 2006 officially, but we had been working, to your point, innovating for several years before that, doing research and development. The company was started to solve the problem of ethylene oxide exposure in healthcare, in hospitals. And we recognized that there wasn't a product, there's no sensor that could accurately measure ethylene oxide down to occupational exposure levels that didn't have some serious specificity issues, which is to say that there's a lot of false alarms with the product people are trying to use to protect themselves from ethylene oxide exposure. From an innovation standpoint, we were the first to develop an ethylene oxide sensor that was specific and very accurate at low levels. And we're also the first company to develop a hydroperoxide sensor for the healthcare industry, specifically for the application of monitoring hydroperoxide as a sterilant. And thirdly, it's been about 3 or 4 years ago now, we were the first to develop a parasitic acid sensor for that liquid chemical sterilant. So we're very proud of that. And the reason that we exist is to protect folks working around these toxic sterilants.
David, what is your customer base like? You know, being an innovator and being first to the market, I'm sure it takes a little bit of time to build up some clientele. So what's the size of that? And talk about standards development and regulations as well, because I know worker safety is a primary concern for ChemDAC.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I never had it put to me that way. The market that we're in relative to the regulatory environment, and quite frankly, regulatory, as you would imagine, drives innovation. When things started getting really interesting with ethylene oxide in the late 80s, that put a spotlight on ethylene oxide back then that, hey, this stuff is probably not good to breathe. And gosh, you can't smell it. It's imperceptible to the human senses. And so there was more complaints, I think. So that drove regulatory action, which drives innovation. That happened with ethylene oxide, and it's happening right now as we speak with parasitic acid. Parasitic acid is under regulatory development. There's some regulation in place, but they're evolving. Hydrogen peroxide is a very interesting one because it's had occupational exposure limits since the 1940s, I think. The problem, of course, is that for reasons of mostly budget, there's not a lot of enforcement in those regulations in healthcare, which is really unfortunate because it leaves people at risk.
So, David, what were you seeing in the market that made you feel like there was a need that had to be addressed?
Yeah, Bob, the undefined need or the unrealized need, I think, was, you know, people started realizing that ethylene oxide was a problem. And that was helped a lot by the marketing efforts of the hydrogen peroxide folks. The hydrogen peroxide gas plasma is a terrific technology, and it's, of course, much faster. I mentioned earlier that ethylene oxide is probably the most effective sterilant known to man, but it's the least efficient. So it takes 12 hours to off-gas this toxic chemical back out of the product before it can be handled. So the transition to hydrogen peroxide did not solve the problem of worker exposure. It just changed it to a different chemical. And a lot of people don't understand that because it's just too common for people. It's too familiar to think about hydrogen peroxide that they're not that concerned about it. Well, they should be, because we're talking about starting out at 58% and climbing to over 90, 95% during the sterilization process. That is an extremely high concentration. I mean, ethylene oxide is used at 100%. And again, designed to kill all life. You just don't want to be exposed to this stuff. And similar to ethylene oxide, hydrogen peroxide has no smell. It's imperceptible. So you don't know that you're potentially being exposed to it if something's leaking. The other issue is that if you look at the actual exposure limits promulgated for hydrogen peroxide back in the 40s, I think it was, before even OSHA existed, the immediately dangerous to life and health level as a comparison to ethylene oxide is 10 times lower. Ethylene oxide, you can be in a room that's flooded with ethylene oxide up to 700 to 800 parts per million before it's immediately dangerous to your life and health. If that were hydrogen peroxide, it's 75. So it's 10 times lower. Hydrogen peroxide exposure is immediately dangerous to your life and health. That's got to tell you something. And these exposure limits are put in place to protect folks from overexposure. Ethylene oxide and hydrogen peroxide have the same exact occupational exposure limit, one part per million over an 8-hour average. So these exposure limits have been established to protect workers. They're just not being enforced, which is very unfortunate. The last thing, what we're trying to solve, is the fact that people don't realize that this equipment can and sometimes does leak. You can't put your trust in a piece of equipment. You know, even though they're designed to the highest standard, they can and do sometimes leak. And when it does, you need to know about it.
When you think about all of these numbers that you're throwing out about the different chemicals and the dangers related to them, I know that sterile processing staff and leadership get it. But when you start moving up the chain to the operating room, to administrators, how many of them really understand the dangers that come with using these products?
Well, I think it's a great observation, and that's one of the hills that we need to be climbing, I think. It's education. I'm so pleased with the relationship with Beyond Clean because we're now able to provide that education in a very high-level, professional way. And a lot of the things that we're doing as a partnership with Beyond Clean is providing educational credits. Your question, very astutely, is how do we get administration to buy off on this? And I think that's the key question, because it starts, I think, with education at the user level and the management level. And then I believe that those folks then being supplied with this information can then go to administration and say, look, we've done our research. This is something that we're concerned about. And the regulations support it. It's not just OSHA. Hazard communication standard explicitly says that you need to have a means to alert potentially affected employees of a leak promptly. Well, you can't do that with a badge, guys. You can't do that with any other method than continuously monitoring this equipment that's using this highly toxic chemical. You want to know if that's leaking out of there. Without going on and on, I think this is very important. One of the big concerns that I have is that a lot of the folks in sterile processing are women in childbearing years. There was a study done by AIHA, the American Institute of Industrial Hygienists, and they put out a publication called The Synergist. The Synergist wrote an article about these toxic sterilants and what levels of exposure is safe for a woman that's pregnant. Turns out that is zero. There is no level of exposure of any of these sterilant chemicals that is safe for a woman who is pregnant. And think about all the women that are working with this equipment, and particularly hydrogen peroxide, because they're potentially going into this thing every 30 minutes in a busy hospital, potentially being re-exposed to potentially high levels of hydrogen peroxide. And what the article concluded was is that the most dangerous time in a pregnancy is in the first couple of months, when a woman doesn't even know she's pregnant. So now you've got women working around this stuff. They may be pregnant and not know it. There's a potential for them to be exposed to these toxic sterilants that are designed, once again, to kill the most difficult microorganisms like spores. It's just not a good situation. Kind of long way around the barn, Bob, but back to your point about administration, if they knew this, I know administrators, I know hospital CEOs, they're very concerned about their people and they will do something about it. So education is very, very important. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in the hospital.
So David, that's a really good point. And as we prepared for this interview, one of the things that we talked about was, what is the biggest challenge that ChemDAC faces? And you said the number one competitor for ChemDAC is complacency. It's a very much unrealized danger to worker safety and health. And so getting that on the radar, specifically with administrators, like you just said, CEOs and administrators are very much concerned about their people. But the biggest competition is complacency. And I think that's why Bob asked the question about education, is how do we get a group of people at the hospital together to talk about this issue? And I guess the other thing is, a lot of times, they want data, and very few long-term exposure studies have been conducted. And I think you told us that's the same for ethylene oxide as well. So I think one of your biggest value props is just giving them information that they wouldn't otherwise have, and definitely not information from their very own departments.
Well, sure. We've been at this now for 30 years, and we have gone through this right alongside the sterile processing, the frontline technicians. About 3 or 4 years ago, the hazard communication standard was updated and a number of different things were changed and added. A lot of it had to do with a standardization, so in between countries, and chemicals had a lot to do with it. But I traveled the country and I went to no less than 20, maybe 30 ISHM chapters to speak on hazard communication standard. What I was doing was telling people what was in the standard, what they needed to meet, what they needed to think about. What it turns out is that I spoke about that, and you know what? Just about every single one that I went to after I was done, people would come up to me and tell me that they had seemed to have certain clusters of disease in their department. That really is motivating to keep doing what we're doing and understanding that these things have a real effect on people. And we know this. There's so much information out there that we have compiled over the years that we'd love to share with people. The NORA report, the National Occupational Research Agenda, a part of the CDC, literally said that the injuries and illnesses in healthcare, among all these other industries that have had a lot more injuries and illnesses over the years, those are going down and healthcare is going up. Why is that? It's because we're not paying attention to worker safety in healthcare. And you know what happens when you don't pay attention? Accidents happen. And anybody who knows anything about safety and safety management understands that. When you're not paying attention, that's when bad things happen. And let me just say one more thing along those lines. Ethylene oxide has now gone full circle, not in healthcare, because healthcare is pretty much purged ethylene oxide to a large degree. There's still plenty of places out there that understand that there could be a superbug or something someday, and hydrogen peroxide is probably not going to cut it. But that aside, industrial ethylene oxide sterilization now has been in the news, if anybody has been following that, and it is bad. There are communities now that have pockets of people who have cancer, and they're trying to shut down various commercial ethylene oxide sterilization plants. Well, ethylene oxide sterilizes 20 billion medical devices a year. And if you do that, you're not going to have the medical devices that hospitals need to do surgery. This is a huge conundrum right now, and FDA and EPA are just grappling with this, and there's lawsuits flying. The reason I'm bringing this up is they want to reduce the exposure limit of ethylene oxide from emissions from these plants to parts per billion or even parts per trillion. Now, think about that for a minute. The toxic chemical that hospitals use for decades, and prior to 1984, the exposure limit was 50 parts per million. In 1984, it went down to 1 part per million over 8 hours. And then in 1989, because of a lawsuit, they added the short-term exposure limit, not to exceed 5 ppm over any 15-minute average exposure. So that's been in place since late 80s, early 90s. Now we're in 2020, and they're saying that parts per billion need to be established in communities for communities to be safe. Now, you guys tell me what's wrong with that picture. And the other problem I have with that is I'm seeing the same movie over again with hydrogen peroxide and with parasitic acid and with these other chemicals that are designed to kill all life. I can't say strongly enough how we've seen this movie before with ethylene oxide, and now we're getting a repeat, and it's even more serious, but we're just going along with the other ones, even though there are exposure limits, they're not being enforced, and people are not being protected.
That's a lot of information, David, and I think it's great information for people to know. So can you tell us about some of the benefits of your system with continuous monitoring and tracking that folks can use to make themselves or make the workplace safe again?
We are so focused on the best products for the application. And when we work in healthcare and hospitals or commercial sterilization, which we do for ethylene oxide, we're very busy there right now. Our goal is to make the best product that's easiest to use for the right application and provide the information that they need to actionable information. For instance, yes, we sell continuous monitoring. We don't believe in badges. When you wear a badge, you're the monitor. Who wants to wear a badge and send it back and a week later be told that you're exposed? That's terribly backwards to me. So we reject that from just on basic principles, as I explained. But all of our equipment is continuous monitoring. It provides the current level right now, and it also provides the current 15-minute average and the current 8-hour average right on the screen. I think the most beneficial thing is we developed a feature along the lines of preventing exposure called impending alerts. Our impending alerts and our monitoring systems are really a tremendous feature because they provide advanced warning before you exceed any of the exposure limits. For instance, if over the 15-minute average for parasitic acid has a 0.4 short-term threshold limit value, or TLV, which means that over 15 minutes, if the average exposure is over 0.4, it's considered to be unsafe. So our impending alerts on our monitoring systems actually give you advance warning before it reaches that level. One of the things that we can do with our monitoring system for any of these chemicals, let's say hydrogen peroxide, for example, our newest monitor, the SteriTrack 2, is a plug-and-play device. You literally set it on top of the monitor, and you put the sensor above the door of the sterilizer. We train the users to open the door of the sterilizer and take a few steps back. Look at the monitor, which is displaying the current level and the averages, and make sure that that's at zero before you go reaching inside and taking things out. It's a work practice that assures that you're not going to be exposed to any of these chemicals. Part of the value, I think, of our system is just that it prevents exposure. You know, most gas detection, they just go off at a certain level, and they may track average exposures over time, but they don't have this feature that gives them alerts before it reaches a dangerous level. So that's something that's unique to ChemDAC.
Well, it's really proactive, and I think that's what's important, right? You don't want to find out about an exposure after it happened. There's not a lot you can do about it, but if you find out about it ahead of time, then you can have preventive maintenance taken on the equipment, and you can schedule that and still have the monitor make sure that you turn it off as soon as it reaches that limit. So you're getting the alerts to let you know it's time to do something about it. If you have a service tech who can't get out there for 3 weeks, you don't have to shut down the operation. And that's really what it's all about. Everybody in surgical services wants uptime for their equipment, for their surgical sets, because the amount of time that you're in the OR is worth dollars. And so this is also a great way to be able to protect the workers without having to slow down the operation. And I think that's a real critical component, because sometimes I think the concerns that people would have is if we implement a new technology, it's going to disrupt how we do business today. And it doesn't sound like that's the case here. And even above that, like the actual benefits to the employees, one of the things you described to us in the past is improved morale and increased public image because the institution's a safety and health leader. I mean, right now, with everything that's going on in our society around infection control, like those things matter. And public perception about being a leader in healthcare and workplace safety is really important. You obviously have the most updated technology, but the term I want to make sure we use here is when you talk about leaks, I think the best way that you've said it to me is fugitive sterilant vapor leaks. And that's really what it is. They're fugitive gases that are escaping the machine that they're not intended to. And it's obviously vapor if you're talking about low temp, and then that gets into the air. So having monitors really seems like a no-brainer to me. What's the problem here?
Yeah, I want to touch on what you just said in terms of maintenance. It's such a good point because we have so many customers that have told us that, look, the monitor told us that we were starting to have a problem and we were able to get somebody in and take care of it before it became a bigger problem. And to your point, something that you had to actually shut off and not use until somebody could come and fix it. So they're actually using our equipment to help the maintenance schedule and to keep things running optimally. And of course, to protect workers. The other point you made about image, at this time, we have almost full employment. And I'm even experiencing this at my own company. It's tough to get people and keep people. And so this is a way to show workers that, number one, the employer cares about them. They're going to spend a little bit of money and ensure that they have a safe work environment, not just because it's an OSHA requirement. It is good PR and it is good employee-employer relations for sure.
All right. So we talked about data and you have the data. So now let's just talk about white papers and studies, because healthcare is an evidence-based industry. I think to help make a case, especially if you're taking it all the way to the top, you got to have white papers and studies. What kind of information is out there to help them?
There's been quite a few studies. We have a tremendous amount of anecdotal things, of course, but that's not going to meet that criteria that you're talking about. There's been some formal studies. The most widespread one is the Japanese study that was actually presented at the World Sterilization Congress. It's been several years, but it did show that some hydrogen peroxide sterilizers can and do leak, and there's studies to back that up. Since then, ASP has done some studies of their own on some of the other technologies. There's three now. There's the one that's hydrogen peroxide plasma. There's vaporized hydrogen peroxide, which is the Stera system. And then there's the newer system that uses the ozone. It's still hydrogen peroxide. I think I mentioned this in our last discussion, that the plasma and the ozone in those different units is really primarily there to break up the hydrogen peroxide at the end of the sterilization cycle. They both use hydrogen peroxide for the sterilization, and then at the end, either plasma or ozone primarily to break it up before you go in so it goes away. So it's kind of a safety thing. Now, the vaporized hydrogen peroxide doesn't have a means to do that. So we do find higher fugitive emissions from the vaporized hydrogen peroxide machines. But again, studies, I think Steris also did their own. I think there's an article or two that basically says that you should be monitoring all sterilizers, which we appreciate. And then there's an ongoing study now in New Zealand that should be presented at the next International Sterilization Conference. I think that's in Macau, hopefully this year. Then ETO, as I mentioned earlier, is under study now to promulgate new exposure limits to protect communities. And that's an EPA issue. However, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a real trick to have a parts per billion exposure limit outside in the community, and inside where people are working directly with it, it's a part per million. So 1,000 times difference. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. PAA, I wanted to mention, because it is such a very effective chemical, and it's pretty much replaced glutaraldehyde in the world for high-level disinfection. And even sterilization, by the way, there's products that are starting to use PAA gas for low temp that you'll be seeing in the future. But new studies are underway for all of the occupational exposure limits. There's a ACGIH, American Conference of Governmental Industrial Hygiene exposure limit that's been in place now for about 3 or 4 years. And now Cal OSHA specifically is bringing that forward and adopting that. And they'd like to adopt a 0.2 8-hour exposure limit. So it'd be a 0.4 15-minute and a 0.2 8-hour. Those are extremely low, guys. It's going to be difficult to keep it below that level. But once again, those are the exposure limits that the agencies, that the experts are saying that above which are dangerous to your health. There's no way of knowing that unless you're monitoring it. As you mentioned earlier, Justin, it's just kind of a no-brainer. People need to protect yourselves. We're trying to provide the information that will give you the ammunition to get that done in your facility. Lastly, hundreds and hundreds, I don't know if we're in the thousands yet now, worldwide, are monitoring and will validate the value and the need, because they do find leaks and they do see the value of continuous monitoring.
Well, that's great. And you just kind of mentioned ways that people can get involved. They can reach out to you and get these white papers or links to the studies and information to help them make their argument. Also, just getting educated in general. You mentioned the partnership with Beyond Clean, and following ChemDAC on social media is definitely something that we will encourage all of our listeners to do. And I'll get you those links as we wrap up the podcast in a few minutes. But also, join that conversation. Get support from your team and others in the sterilization community. But what about contacting ChemDAC directly, David?
Yeah, we're constantly updating our website to provide more and more support, more studies as are being performed, outcomes, and of course, testimonials and things like that, that you can not take our word for it, but talk to our customers. I would encourage anyone to talk to folks in your community. Pretty much every sterilization community, and we know how tight they are, I mean, a lot of folks know each other. Talk to each other about this, and you'll find somebody with a ChemDAC system. Ask them about the value to their hospital, to their department. Ask them about their decision to push this in their facility. Again, we're not talking about a lot of money here. And we, as a company, we continue to innovate and to make things easier and faster and quicker and less expensive even. So yes, contact us. And I want to point out that our partnership with Beyond Clean will provide a lot of educational material that'll be easy to access and easy to get educated, and at the same time get those continuing ed credits that folks want to have to keep up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can also reach out for a quote, because once they start putting a package together, you want to have it all there. You want your white papers, you want your studies, you want a quote, like you want to get all of that together before you present it to administration. And ChemDAC's team can definitely help you with that. Social media, linkedin.com/company/ChemDAC-INC, facebook.com/realchemdac. ChemDAC is ChemDAQ, and then twitter.com/realchemdac. And finally, the website, www.chemdac.com. Again, ChemDAQ.com. And to reach out to a representative from ChemDAC, you can email sales@chemdac.com. David, you've got a great product. I know you've been on the podcast not only this week, but in years past. We continue to promote it. Really appreciate the partnership on social media. Continue to promote all the great work that you're doing there to educate on this topic. And I just want to thank you again for sharing your expertise and your knowledge with our listeners on the episode today.
Well, thank you, guys. It's been a real pleasure.
That was David Hilliker, President and CEO of ChemDAC Incorporated. And Bob, this is one of those topics, even from very early on in the Beyond Clean podcast, before you even joined our team, where Hank and I did this interview with David Hilliker, and I remember we hung up the phone and we were like, I just don't know why anybody wouldn't do this. And I'm not saying that they would have to do it with ChemDAC. It just so happens that that's the only provider of this technology today. So I just don't know why people wouldn't do the monitoring. If it's not expensive and it can definitely promote employee and worker safety, this one has always felt like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Justin. I think really when you think about this, on top of the safety aspect and everything else, just the employee satisfaction that they feel knowing that their facility cares enough about them to put a system like this in place, it's really cool.
All right, that's going to do it for this Vendor Spotlight. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Don't forget to visit ChemDAC's website, ChemDAC.com, or check out LinkedIn.com/company/ChemDAC-Inc. and Facebook.com/RealChemDAC. Or if you want to get a quote or get access to some of the white papers that we discussed in this episode, email sales@chemdac.com. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show here at Beyond Clean. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Bob and myself, thank you for listening to this Vendor Spotlight.